All right, so Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. Again, we'll read through and then we'll come back and look at some highlights, or I guess what is in here for us, all right? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And we read, it says here, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' The one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" God bless the reading of his word this morning. Wow. I want to ask a few questions about a specific word in the English language. That word is complacency. Okay? Complacency. What does it mean to be complacent? What does it mean to be complacent? What causes us to become complacent? Or is our satisfaction of the now, of the here and the now, what we see before us, is that satisfaction for us preventing us from the potential of what can be in our life? A pursuit of more is honorable in God's sight as it pertains to his kingdom. Will we be those to whom it is said, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or could we be running the risk of being those who are perhaps tossed out into the outer darkness, where there will be frustration and weeping and gnashing of teeth? And again, that whole idea, that picture of weeping and gnashing of teeth, as we talked about last week, is there was a gentleman who was invited to this wedding banquet. He knew everything that he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it. And so when they was thrown out, it was almost though, "But I knew I should have done that. I knew all along." But he had no excuse. And in a similar fashion, Jesus is talking about the kingdom here again, but from a different perspective. Not merely being invited and changing one's heart, but instead actually using that which you have been blessed and given with. Possessions of the king. Again, that is what we're doing here. We're comparing the kingdom of heaven, in which we are now all involved, we're comparing that to this story, right? To our lives, the story. So let's actually look back here in verse 14. It says here that it is just like, the kingdom of heaven is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Now, in this specific story, it's not just any man. This man actually had many possessions with which to give. And so he entrusted these specific possessions of his own, before he left on this journey. Not only was it his possessions, but rather in the Greek language, as we look into it a little bit more in depth, because remember, if you look at a Greek word, there are many meanings. Just like in our language, in the English language, if we have one word, it could have various many different meanings or nuanced terms to it. There's a lot more color than just the word might show us. And so in this specific word in the Greek, this idea of possessions that he's entrusted to these servants is actually his belongings. In fact, if you look at that word and you follow down far enough, it actually means his very being. So not just that which belonged to him, but even his very being he is entrusting to them. All of his belongings were basically who he was. And he was giving these, entrusting them to his servants, those to whom he was overseeing, those to whom he owned, if we want to put it bluntly, because servants in that day were owned. He owned them and therefore entrusted them with these belongings, part of himself. Now, the interesting thing here is that they were given graciously. None of these servants deserved any of this. None of them deserved any of that which they received. And then he immediately left. He immediately left to go on a journey. He gave no instructions on what to do with these possessions, these belongings of their master. Gave no instructions. So I wonder what that scenario would have looked like. You have servants that are receiving graciously a gift they did not deserve, and things that are of measure. These are not small little things. These are big things. And yet, here you go, here you go, here you go. See you later. And he walks out the door. What is one supposed to think or do at that moment? Are you supposed to just, again, what do you do? I don't understand. There's no instructions. So we are left to think that these servants had to come up with an idea of what they should do with this money that they've been entrusted with, or money, possessions, belongings. Again, it doesn't necessarily say specifically. He left. But there's one little provision that was happening here. In verse 15, we see that to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Okay? So there was some sort of an intrinsic value that each person had that attributed to them a measure of the belonging. And again, this is not something that goes into great detail here. What is the measure of a man? What is within oneself that says, I am worthy to receive more? This seems very arbitrary in a way, but also gracious. But there was an ability there that each possessed, a unique ability, which would then relate to the amount that they were going to receive of this possession. What do you think that was? Were they worthy enough to carry it? Were they trustworthy enough? Were they strong enough? Were they kind enough? Generous enough? They had an ability that the master saw within them that was varying. It was of different levels. So he gave each to their own ability, and then he went on his journey. Immediately, I find that very interesting in Scripture when we actually see that word immediately. It doesn't leave any room for doubt. As soon as that servant came and received something, it's as though he knew exactly what he was going to do with it. Right? Can I just take peel a little bit of the onion off here? The idea of all of this, if we were to try and actually define terms, right? The master is who? God. Okay, good. All right. Even though no one answered, I know you were all thinking it. This is just like high school all over again. All right? So the master is God, and then he's leaving to his servants or slaves, those to whom he owns now. Who would those be? Us as believers, right? Okay, so we're defining terms, we're safe. And then he's also leaving his possessions, or what he now refers to as talents. Now, don't mistake that for talents as though now I have a good skill that I can, you know, shoot basketball. I have a talent at that, right? This was actually possessions or money. So these talents then are gifts of the Father given to each one according to the measure of their ability. So I guess now would be the best time for us to start looking in the mirror and saying, all right, what now, as we continue through here, are my talents? What are the things that God has gifted to me right now? These are not things that are of the natural. I'll just put a bit of a disclaimer on that. It's not as though I received the blessing of a vehicle and now I need to maintain that, right? It's not as though I've received $500 and I need to go make $500 more. That's not exactly the picture that's happening here. He's using that as the illustration, right? The illustration is an allusion towards something else that is of a spiritual nature and component to it, okay? So the talents here then are, or the gifts, are gifts of his kingdom. Kingdom gifts. Let's keep reading on. Immediately the one who had received the five talents, according to his ability, again, went and traded them and gained five more talents. So I find it very interesting here that he traded with them. He traded with them. He was committed to them. Beyond that, he knew exactly what he was going to do before he even received them. If God were to bless you with something immeasurable of his kingdom, a gift, would you know immediately what to do with it? You would? Immediately what you would do with it. And the only reason why one would know what to do immediately with it is if they were actually thinking, what would I do if my master came and gave me that gift? Does that make sense? Right? Can you imagine that some of these servants were probably thinking, huh, if I had all the master's money, here's what I would do. Well, guess what? Your day has come. You received this immeasurable gift. He knew exactly what to do with it. Immediately, the one who had received it went and he traded with it. Now, that idea of being traded with, again, there's a Greek nuanced word here, which means that he is committed to them. He examined them and he used them. Not just used, but he was in constant interaction with these gifts, this talents that he received. That's what it means by trading. You have it in your possession. You're examining, how best can I now use it? And you're constantly interacting with it. And that's exactly what he did. He did it to such an extent that it doubled that with which he was entrusted. He received now back the same amount from a different source. He used it to receive back kind of the same stuff. It was increased by use. Increased by use. It's almost the opposite. You know, we have in our own lives muscles. I hope everyone has muscles. And when we work these muscles out, what happens? They grow. If we don't work them out, what happens? They go into some medical term, atrophy or whatever, right? Marshmallows. There we go. We got marshmallows. So that's just a real world example of what happens here as we're using the gifts of the kingdom, right? We start to see an increase take place that is beyond our understanding or capability, really. But it's not diminishing, it's actually increasing. So again, another time when we can look in the mirror and say, do I see that which God has gifted me with increasing? Or do I see it decreasing? Or am I satisfied? And I have to say that satisfying and decreasing are the same. Being satisfied with where you are and decreasing are exactly the same. Because in the kingdom, we are in a kingdom of increase. The kingdom of heaven is always increasing. It's always steadily advancing. It's always moving. It says here, in the same manner that one who had received two talents gained two more. So it mattered not the amount. What mattered was the faithfulness with it. Right? It didn't matter whether he had 5 or 10 or 15 or 2. The reality is that what he had been given, he went out and used. He did so immediately. He used it. He was committed with it. And he saw an increase. But then we see a very interesting scenario. We see one individual here who received one talent in verse 18, went away, he dug a hole in the ground and hid this money. He hid his master's possessions. Now, again, one only has to think, I don't understand what's going through this gentleman's mind. He kind of gives an explanation later on in this scenario. But the idea is that he's dug a hole, he went away to do so, dug the hole, covered it over, and then carried on about his life. So again, that which he received, he wasn't using, was he? He literally deposited it somewhere where it would have no value, no one could even see it, no use in any manner, and then he buried it, covered it up, and then took off and walked away. So I don't know what's more offensive, the fact that he's not using it or the fact that he has ignored it so much that he's not even overseeing it. He's not even in the same vicinity to make sure that it's safe. He just takes off. The kingdom life that we are all in right now is meant to be enacted with. It's meant to be interacted with. It's not something that we can nicely receive and then just set to the side and walk away. Now, in verse 19, the thing starts to shift. After a long time, it says here. Now, after a long time, it doesn't give the breadth of time of how long this is. But after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. In other words, he's wanting to see the manner of his possessions now. He just wants to see. He's not coming to ask for it, necessarily. He's just wanting to see how it's been administered. He's coming to settle those accounts. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave." Carbon copy. "You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And then that last little portion, what does it say? "Now enter into your master's joy." Enter into your master's joy. So, and as much as we've established the fact that faithfulness with what we are given brings increase in a way that is counterintuitive to our minds, it's not logical, right? Because how can something increase that's maybe not tangible? Right? Again, this is an illusory story. This is alluding to things spiritual, but using a physical, natural way to explain it. Is this making sense to everybody? Right? Using these natural things to explain something that is spiritual. So how does spiritual increase take place? It's through faithfulness. Faithfulness with that which we've received. Faithfulness with that which we've received. There's an increase there. Few things to many things, as we see. Few things to many things. And beyond that, not only does faithfulness bring increase, but it actually would suggest that faithfulness brings delight and joy. That as we are faithful with these things, then we are filled with joy, that we can then now enter into the joy of our master, not just any joy. This is a joy of a kingdom joy, right? Like a supernatural joy, that which God has, this joy, this delight, that we can now enter into that as we are faithful with what we've been entrusted with. I think all of us feel like we are being faithful with something, right? We're being faithful with something, with things. There are things that we have received or been entrusted with. But, like, for example, my family. Obviously, I have a family. I have 3 lovely kids. I have a beautiful wife. I have been entrusted with those things in a way, in a natural way, right? But beyond that, beyond those things, whatever your thing may be, have you been entrusted with a position at work? Have you been entrusted with a business? Have you been entrusted with oversight or managing something? Have you been entrusted with, see, those things are all honorable and good, but those are natural things, okay? We're talking about that which is supernatural. We're talking about a spiritual component to it. So sure, you can take the idea of being entrusted with money or talents or businesses or occupations or whatever the case may be, And it still applies. This is where we see kind of this manifold wisdom of God, where there's multiple facets to how we can see it, different angles, and it still applies to our lives and is still honorable and true. But if we really want to get down to what's going on here, we're seeing a spiritual component that's taking place. We have to start to ask ourselves, how has God, what has he placed within me? What part of his belongings has he entrusted to me? What part of God's belongings have you been entrusted with? Beyond that, are you then being faithful with them? And I guarantee you that as you belong in Jesus, there are possessions that he has designed uniquely for you to carry. Things that I can't carry. You're all designed in that unique way to be faithful with them. But again, it's according to your ability. You'll still receive something. There wasn't a slave here that didn't say didn't get anything, but it's according to your strength, your ability. Do you consider yourself to be strong? Do you consider yourself to be faithful? To be entrusted perhaps with more? So let's not confuse natural things with things that are spiritual, especially in this illusion, even though it works. It's not the intent. In verse 24, we read, "And the one who also had received one talent came up and said to his master, 'I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I knew you to be a hard man. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.'" This idea of a hard man means that he understands his master to be stern. In fact, again, another nuanced meaning is that he's fierce. We are very good at acknowledging God to be loving and kind, in which he is, very, very much so. But do we all understand that God is also fierce? That he can be stern? That he can be at times hard? And I don't know. You know, with God, there's so many different things that they amaze me. But there's times when I'm just vastly unsettled by them. But I think that's true of any true relationship. Right? If you were, this is all a relationship. This is a relationship for us. The fact that we have the ability to have a relationship with God is amazing. It's beyond our understanding, but here's the thing. What do real relationships present us with? What do they look like? In our human understanding, if one friend in that close relationship went and did something that offended this other friend or was against what they had been entrusted with, are they not angry at each other? Is there not a bit of a enmity that gets put between them? And yet, how much more so would it be with God? Continually, we see throughout Scripture, he's inviting the Israelites back. Please come to me. Please come to me. I've set ordinances and statutes for which you can obey me. And not only that, that's an invitation for you to draw closer to me, to love me more, to delight in me more. And yet, they continue to not do it, continue to not do it, continue to not do it. I can't help but think that models even our own lives. Every single day is an opportunity for us to partner with God. We're being invited to more of him. Being invited to express his kingdom out there. Being invited, Jesus has paved the way that it gives us an easy access to the Father every day, every minute of every day. And yet I feel like sometimes it's just hard for us. We're getting into the same cycle as those who were in Israel. Invitation, and then we just don't listen to it. Invitation, we just don't listen to it. Please express my kingdom, and we just don't listen to it. Over and over and over again it happens. At that point, I wonder if we are actually truly being faithful with what we've been entrusted with. Reaping and harvesting and gathering, or, I mean, if that's even indirectly presuming something. Again, we're talking about something spiritual here. reaping and harvesting and gathering where you don't sow? Is that to mean that indirectly he's doing it? So he's harvesting through agents on the ground, right? Or is it a supernatural receipt of something, that things just grow because this master is the type associated with God, in that he can receive as he wills anyways. Regardless of the excuse, the servant was still held responsible. Right? So if we're walking around our lives and saying, well, you know what, we don't have to share the gospel with this person because, God, if it is your will that he be saved, he's going to come to a knowledge of you and someone will present him with the gospel because you are God, that doesn't cut it in this story. It doesn't cut it, because even though he's perfectly capable to do so, that does not release that servant from being trustworthy enough to enact that which he has been blessed with. Does that make sense? We all have a responsibility. We all carry. We carry the kingdom, but we also carry the responsibility with it. We carry the possession, but we also carry the responsibility to enact that possession, that gift. In every avenue of our lives, we have a tremendous opportunity and also a tremendous responsibility to do so. Now, again, before I get all, like, heavy, maybe that already happened, but the reality is this is all an invitation, because we've seen what the promise is. The promise of our faithful use and enacting these gifts is what? Increase, joy, and delight. These are the things we receive. So again, here's another mirror moment. If you're walking around and you don't feel that great, I have a solution for you. Recognize how you've been gifted and faithfully use those things. Seek the Lord, and it will all turn around. Guarantee you, 100%, money back guarantee. I guarantee you that will happen. I guarantee you, if you faithfully pursue God, if you faithfully pursue him for more, if you enact the gifts that he has gifted you with and blessed you with, that you will enter into delight and joy, that you will see increase, because you are a citizen of a kingdom that by nature increases. Do not believe what is being told on the news. Christianity is increasing. You might not see it down your street or next door or in the businesses here in North America, but it is steadily increasing. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss something. We could potentially miss something. He was afraid to interact with these or use these things, these possessions. And again, I'm wondering if he wasn't intimidated by them. He knew the responsibility that he needed to carry them with, but then he was also afraid, and so he had to dig a hole and walk away from it. I don't know how to presume upon this and read into it in such a manner as to completely describe everything detailed, but I can't help but think that these are gifts that you cannot equate with a natural ability that somehow either intimidates you, maybe it scares you. Maybe you don't believe it to be from God, perhaps. I don't know. Either way, there's the tremendous warning here of just leaving it by the wayside and not enacting that which he's entrusted you with. Verse 26, it says here, "But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew. We saw this last week. You knew. We all today know. And for that we bear a weight.'" And one might think that's very, I don't know. One might think that doesn't sound quite right. But you all sitting here today know. We all know that which we carry. We all know the burden which now we bear. We all know the responsibility with which we need to carry and usher and enact in our lives. We all know. This servant knew. He knew all about his master. And then he says something very interesting. He says, then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. And in fact, it actually says, you should have put my money with the bankers, left them with someone else. I think that's twofold. Number one is because then they're actually being overseen, right? But another, so they don't get stolen. Another way is that there still then is increase, right? There still is more that's coming back, more increase, more increase. You see, we cannot separate this story from the idea of increase in the kingdom. We cannot separate it. It's constantly taking place. Give my money to the bankers so that they may give interest to it. Again, it didn't matter the use, the method. What mattered was the increase. So again, that's the same question that we can have as we look into the mirror. Am I seeing increase? I'm not saying that you might see increase every single minute of every day. There's going to be tough times, for sure. We've said, in the kingdom of heaven, we go from glory to glory, right? What's in between glory? The two. Glory to glory. Maybe a valley? I don't know. Struggle, difficulty, trouble, trial, temptation, testing. It's going to be there for sure, but inevitably, at the end of it all, it's going to be increase upon increase upon increase, right? It's going to be like the stock markets. You kind of see it go down and then up and then up and then up, right? Except this one always increases. It's a safer bet. Verse 29, lastly, it says here, therefore take away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has, or even what he does have, shall be taken away from him. Now again, in order to understand this a little bit better, because it becomes a bit misunderstanding, it's a little bit confusing. And one main thing that we have to see here is that this word has means actually to hold. Okay? Hold on to. Or possess. The one who possesses. For to everyone who holds or possesses, more shall be given. So in other words, what was it that this servant or slave did? He traded with them. He was possessing this belonging. He was interacting with it, right? And then he was seeing increase take place. And so that's what he's saying here, is that for everyone who has or possesses this, is using, interacting with it, then more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. In other words, he will have an overflow. He will receive so much that he doesn't know what to do with it. It's a point of excess that takes place, but not holding on to that which he even was entrusted with then gets removed. Not possessing it, not interacting with it, even that which you have been entrusted with then gets removed. Does that make sense? And then beyond that, obviously, is the last little bit, that outer darkness thrown out, that there's this eternal consequence that takes place. Instead of the well-done, good, and faithful servant, we see here throw this worthless slave into the outer darkness. Now, what I find interesting here, and I'm not setting any sort of theological mandate or doctrinal statement here, I'm just saying, this slave whom we're finding in this story that's alluding to the kingdom to which now we belong, this slave was owned by the master. There was no other transaction that took place. This slave was owned by the master, was not found to be trustworthy with the master's belongings, and what happened? Thrown out. I'm not making this up. And this is not the first time that this is in Scripture. So again, it's a mirror moment time. Where are we at? I'm not trying to be heavy here. I'm just saying it's a reality that is far beyond perhaps our even natural comprehension, but that we need to understand that we should be faithful to what God has entrusted us with. This belongings of his, this possessions of his that he's saying, I'm wanting to trust you with this. And it's an invitation into increase and delight and joy. But we can choose to walk the other way. We could choose to be completely disconnected, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, this idea of frustration. Every day should be measured by that which we hold or possess. Every day should be measured by what we have received from the Master in the kingdom and entrusted with. Every day should be an opportunity for us to enact it. Every day. So, in closing, I'm going to read two portions of Scripture because I think this will relay what I'm trying to get at. And the reality is that let's not look at that which is natural in front of us, the here and the now, with what God has perhaps given to us or blessed us with to carry or to be faithful with administering here and now. In fact, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. Could you pull that up? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So already we're on the right topic, because this is a supernatural economy that we're trying to talk about here. These are the things that we're being entrusted with, right? The potential gifts according to each his ability, according to our strength to hold on to them, to delight in them. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So everyone here has received a manifesting work of the Holy Spirit in their life, period. As you believe in Jesus, that's what you receive. And that would then be what? Considered in the story we read. The talent, right? The gift, according to our ability. Yeah? Are we tracking with this here this morning? We're okay with this? Okay. Is this making sense? Good. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to and another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Do you catch the connection there? Just as he wills, he's distributed it to them. Yeah? The Master gave to his servants according to their ability, just as he willed. Right? Gifts, good gifts, supernatural gifts. So I guess the question is, which one of those do you incline yourself towards? Which one of those does it in here say, that I feel that, I sense that? That's just one. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Chapter 12, verse 3, it says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Do you catch that again? He has given to us, he has allotted to us that which he knows we can carry, should we be so faithful. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Again, the same theme, the same point that's being expressed here is the same thing that we find in Matthew chapter 25. The fact that we are being given a gracious gift, an opportunity, that which we need to steward. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly, to be faithful with them. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, or who gives with liberality or generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Does any one of those resonate with you? We carry something that is not natural as a part of the kingdom. and God is desiring for us to be faithful with it. And he knows that in the same way that we've received some of these listed, there's others, that as we are faithful with those things, we see the increase. We see it double, potentially, if we were to be faithful enough to enact it. If we were to be faithful enough to enact it. So I guess that's the question that I have to leave everyone with here. See, because the Christian faith is just like a journey on the highway, right? Have you ever driven down the highway and there's been valleys, peaks and valleys? And sometimes you get over the crest of this one hill, and what ends up happening before you is you see this beautiful vista. And you say, this is a really nice valley. I mean, if you're into that type of thing, this is a really nice scene before me. And maybe there's a bit of a rest stop, so you pull over to the side of the road and you park your car and then you get out and you take some pictures. Perhaps the whole family's there with you. Do you stay there? Would the fear of going over the next one prevent you from actually leaving that rest stop? See, you're not going to go back because you're used to what's back there. But what would draw you forward? You see, the longer that you stay at that rest stop, perhaps the less inclined you would be to move forward. I know that sounds silly. But in reality, the longer that you stay in one place, the more safe it becomes, the more comfortable it is. You don't want to go forward. And at some point in time, you're going to say, I'm actually scared of what's over that next hill. But what's over that next hill is actually the more of God for you. It's the more of what he has for you that he desires to entrust you with. The longer that you stay put, the longer that you stay satisfied with where you are, the less likely you are to pursue more. You want to know how I know? Because I was like that. And I know other people who are like that too. I'm speaking from experience. But I'm also speaking from experience to know that there is more that we should pursue. I'm also speaking from experience to know that there is increase as we enact faithfully that which God has entrusted with us. I just desire so deeply for you all to step into just the joy and the delight of a full life that is beyond your understanding. It exists as we pursue the Father. He desires so much more for us than we can possibly think of or imagine. And as we partner with him, as we faithfully enact that which he has entrusted with us, that then we can move over every next hill, seeing the more of him show itself, being just overtaken by his beauty, by the increase of his kingdom, by the more that he has for us. It's an abundant life, it truly is. I don't want you to leave thinking that it's not. So if you're not feeling like it's that abundant right now, I'd love to pray with you. If you're not feeling like it's a joy and a delight, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to give you all that I have. I'll give it all to you. Seriously, I will. I'll give it all to you. You can have it. I wouldn't trade it for anything now that I know. And again, like I said last week, I only know what I was missing because of what I have now. I only know what I was missing because of now what I have. So if you feel like you're missing something, I'd love to pray for you as well. Anyways, beyond that, I just want to encourage you. That's where we're at this today. I hope this blesses you and just works on your heart this morning. If you desire prayer for anything, please come forward. If you need a miracle for anything, please, I'd love to pray for you. We've seen miracles take place here before. It's amazing. God is so gracious to us. Beyond that, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your abundant provision in our lives. Lord, even despite ourselves, Lord, you are moving, you are working, you are constantly inviting us into a closeness with you, Lord, that then sets us on fire, Lord, empowers us to be faithful in our walks. And Lord, it is by your Holy Spirit that we are emboldened and empowered enough, Lord, to carry on that which you would entrust us with. So I pray, Lord, that we would not look past that, that we would seek your face, Lord, and that we would seek your presence, Holy Spirit. What a tremendous help and comfort it is to know you more. And Lord, I pray for every heart here, Lord, in whichever fashion that something has resonated, Lord, I pray a blessing on that. Lord God, I pray you bless it and do your work as you choose, Lord. Help us to carry all that you have entrusted with us in a faithful manner, Lord God, seeing your increase and delighting in you. We love you so much, and we ask your blessing on each one. In the mighty name of Jesus.